Hello and welcome to the program, UFO Warning. In this episode, we're talking about UFO March Madness. That's correct, UFO March Madness. Now, a lot of folks are excited about the basketball March Madness. I've been watching some myself, but there's also a lot of UFO March Madness going on. So I wanted to take a look at some of these recent reports here from newfork.org. I'll have the links over at the Ko-Fi and the Locals website. As always, thanks to the folks that support there and at Spotify. It really helps the program. And don't forget to like, follow, subscribe. Doesn't cost a dime. Now, this first sighting says that it occurred on March 22nd, 2024. So just what a week ago. And it was reported then on March 3rd. So they reported it right after they saw it. Duration 1 hour, number of observers 2, and then it says pilot. So this is a pilot report. Location, Beckley, West Virginia, USA. This is where we were when I first saw it, but it was visible until Pittsburgh. And they got a video attached to this report. It's pretty neat. You can see the orb. It says shape orb, color white, viewed from aircraft, direction from viewer 330, angle of event, angle of elevation 10. Characteristics, lights on object. My captain and I saw moving stars, looked kind of like satellites. First off, this is apparently a very common sighting among pilots at my airline. I am new, and this was my first time seeing it. Last night, we were flying from Florida to New York. We were at 33,000 feet and over Beckley Airport in West Virginia. My captain pointed out to me the thing four other captains had mentioned previously. This was my first time seeing it. On about 320 bearing from our present position, he pointed out a star he told me to watch. It stayed completely unchanged for about 10 seconds and suddenly disappeared, instantaneously. Then it reappeared, about 2 inches to the right of my perspective, but dimmer. When it started moving subtly down the windshield while simultaneously getting brighter and brighter until it dwarfed the brightness of other stars of all other stars in the sky. It also appeared to get bigger, as if it was accelerating toward us. It instantaneously disappeared again. This process repeated over the next hour. It moved up, down, sideways, and sometimes completely still. The speed at which it climbed and descended, tens of thousands of feet, made us know it was not an airplane. Sometimes there would be two or three of them at once. They did not act in sync. They all seem to move, disappear, and reappear randomly. From the reports of the other pilots, it seems that these things showed up about a year ago and have been showing up consistently. They can be seen almost any clear night when you have view of the western sky from the east coast. I do not know if they are visible from the ground. My guess is they originate from the same spot because I saw them from a 330 heading in West Virginia. But other people tell me they are usually on a 270 bearing from New York, which seems to line up. Man, amazing. It's got a pretty cool video here, about 46 seconds, if you want to go to New Fork and watch it. People are seeing these things. And what's strange to me is that it's starting to develop this kind of ongoing pattern where they're just showing up. It's almost as if they're trying to acclimate us to their being there. You really want to have to wonder what's going on with these things. Now let's take a look at this next one. Now, this next sighting comes to us from WyomingNewsNow.tv. And I have to tell you, I'm a little disappointed. If you go to New Fork, they just had like one sighting there listed for March. Everything else goes back to February. So seems like they're a little bit slow getting things updated. MUFON, I found that impossible to use, really. I think they pretty much want you to buy a membership there and sign up. So that really didn't do me any good. So I had to try to scan the internet for some UFO sightings. I have to tell you, if as a UFO community, we are desperate for resources. We're desperate for people to post these things online somewhere in a common place so we can just look at them without being charged or having to sift through somebody's opinion about what these things are. There's a lot of work that needs to be done crowdsourcing this stuff. And I'm just trying to do my part by getting these stories out here because they're not being heard. I mean, maybe a few thousand people will hear here and there. And then the rest of the stuff is just being force-fed us. Just try to do a Google search and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, the title of this article says, Witness Reporting Potential UFO Sightings Over the Skies of Rock Springs. On March 9th, witnesses reported a strange object flying above Green River. It's got a short little video that goes with it here, maybe last couple minutes. It's written by Quinn White, March 13th, 2024, Rock Springs, Wyoming. Over the weekend, Rock Springs city attorney and longtime UFO investigator Richard Beckwith spotted something strange in the sky, unlike anything else he has seen in his career. He captured the event on camera. "I've never seen a UFO before I made this recording," he explains. Late in the evening on March 9th, Beckwith received a call from a friend who lives near Green River, about 15 miles southwest of Rock Springs. He grabbed his camera and tripod, and what he witnessed once he got there came as a shock. He watched the object pulsate, moving rapidly side to side. Beckwith isn't trying to prove the object was an alien spacecraft. He's simply trying to find an explanation. He has received a few potential leads on social media, but hasn't yet found any evidence to what it could be. It's got his video there, too. It's kind of cool. You can see this thing. It's moving so fast, it's kind of blurry, but it's definitely something weird going on. Now it's time for Beckwith to dive into his investigation. He has requested radar records from the FAA and connected with other witnesses. Gathering this information will help him find a reasonable explanation, or it will help him determine if it is truly an unidentified flying object. Well, if you haven't identified it, then I guess it's unidentified. Using the locations of the two different groups of witnesses, including myself, the angle and the distance between those and the angles between them and the object, and trigonometry, I should be able to pretty easily determine the location and get a good estimate of the size of the object. Right now, to what it is and what it was, I have no idea, he says. Beckwith says his investigation is still underway. He asks anyone who may have also seen the object to reach out to him at, and that gives his email address here. Yeah, pretty cool. Well, at least we're getting to the point where people can come out and talk about these things, and that's important. Yeah, like I said, this will be at the Ko-Fi and the Locals website with the other links. I think you'd be interested in seeing this article. Now, let's take a look at another sighting. Now, here's a quick one from the state of Washington. The dateline on this says Apple Valley, I believe. I guess you're just supposed to know where that's at. This article comes to us from applevalleynewsnow.com. Title says, "Potential UFO Sighting Caught on Apple Valley News Now's Skycam." Morgan Huff, Aaron Winsell, March 25th, 2024, it says. It's got a short video with it. Another orb sighting to me. During Good Morning Northwest at 5 a.m. Monday, March 25th, a viewer spotted what could potentially be a UFO on our Dust Devil's weather skycam. "While opinions in the newsroom are divided, we want your opinion. Our opening shot of what it looked like outside showed a strange thing or light in the sky. It looks like an object flashing by, followed by a faint light that appears to be chasing it. Is it a UFO? Washington State is well known for this phenomena, or is it something naturally occurring? You decide." And then they've got a little thing where you can vote below. I'll tell you, it's weird. You know, I guess at least they had the courage to post this thing. It's almost, I'm finding it almost impossible to find current UFO sightings listed anywhere. Definitely worth taking a look at. Now, we'll move on to another one here. So I'm going to finish the podcast up with this sighting from March of 1967. Before I do, without being too much of a downer, I just have to say, I thought I'd be able to go in and log on to New Fork or MUFON or somewhere and find just a ton of reports from March and go through a few of them. We could have fun talking about them, but that's just not the case. MUFON was zero help. It seems like it's kind of behind a paywall is what it looks like to me. New Fork's got a lot of great sightings, but they're a little slow to get them put up. So I found one report from March and that was it. I don't know if they're just understaffed or what. But if you're an individual out there and you're trying to report your UFO sighting and you want to get it up where people can read it quickly, doesn't seem like much of a opportunity there. I went to Twitter, now X, typed in UFO sighting and got back zero results. Seems kind of strange, Elon. The fact is, it's just that we don't have an apparatus set up for people to report quickly. We can correlate the data, take a look at it, and really think about it. We have a series of gatekeepers, whether it's one or two big UFO reporting centers or just the Mockingbird media or this horrendous monster called Google Search that doesn't search so much as it covers up, I think. you type in a search query and you get 300 pages of the same garbage. It's become harder and harder every time I use a search engine to find a report, to just find the truth. And it's clear to me that people in the UFO community are going to have to develop their own ways to report this stuff, because we're being blocked at every turn. What I do see, which does kind of concern me in a way, it's good and bad, is people using TikTok. I'm not a big fan of TikTok, really, but that seems to be the go-to site to post your UFO videos. And what you end up with is lots of, you know, minute-long videos with people saying, oh, expletive, oh, expletive, oh, my expletive, expletive, expletive. That's the quality, though, that we're getting on TikTok. We're not getting good quality reports. We're getting some decent video, but we're left just in the dark about the context. And I think that's where the powers that be want us at, is in the dark. Going forward, what I see here is this, in this whole UFO, just like anywhere else, 80-20 rule. 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work as far as putting in good reports. On one side, we have a couple dozen made members of the UFO mafia dripping out bits and pieces to us here and there. And on the other side, we have a fire hydrant of TikTok clips. And somewhere in the middle, we need to find some good reports that are written down and coherent, that tell us where the event happened, what time it was, who it happened to, and give us a little bit of background on it. That's what we're looking for. That's how we put these things in context. Simply watching 200 UFO videos on TikTok that last a minute each, while people are, you know, just completely spaced out and cursing in the background, isn't helpful. And going through the 300-page limit on a Google search, where half the pages come up either as debunkers or UFO made members telling us their version of the UFO situation, isn't helpful either. It seems like the masses of us are just left out here wandering around trying to find the truth, but doing the best we can. So I found a couple of current March UFOs sightings. For instance, if you type in a March UFO sighting today, you'll probably get back 100 different search results referencing the space link that was seen over Oklahoma and Texas and mistaken for a UFO. They love to do that. These little media outlets love to find somebody who's seen the SpaceX rocket launch with the, you know, with the donut hole smoke circle it creates, and then people posting it as UFOs, and then they can get on there and they can call a local college professor and debunk it. It creates content for them. What they don't like to do is to interview people who had legitimate sightings and post legitimate videos online, like we've seen there with the county attorney out in Wyoming. Saw a UFO, posted the video, looks like a decent video, had a conversation about it, and was able to do it without using expletives 6 times in a minute. The powers that be don't want to present UFO enthusiasts as reasonable people. What we need is just more common sense and more people can talk about this stuff rationally and a place where they can post it at, because I don't think TikTok's the answer. But here's this article from Galesburg.com. It's dated March 13th, 2017. UFO spotted 50 years ago in Galesburg. It says Talbert Fisher is the author of this and has her Gmail there. And has some clipping from some headlines. UFO sighted at Galesburg. Weird object seen at Galesburg. Midwest police sight hissing, roaring UFOs. And then it says, have you ever looked into the night sky and seen something you can't explain? A twinkling light or a moving shape, or perhaps a line of lights moving through the clouds. Have you ever seen this in the skies over Galesburg? Of course, this is Galesburg, Illinois. They're in the middle of the country. Unidentified flying objects or UFOs have long captivated the imaginations of people of all ages and social classes. While sightings have been recorded for centuries, interest in sightings saw an uptick in the 1940s, most famously in 1947, when an alleged UFO crashed near Roswell, New Mexico. Sightings continued through the 50s and 60s, with some being explained while others never were. 50 years ago in 1967, Galesburg was added to the list of UFO sightings. On March 9th, Frank Corson, a 39-year-old Knox County deputy sheriff, watched two unidentified objects for more than an hour. At 12:30 a.m., he watched with three men from County Road 10 behind the Deep Rock service station southeast of Galesburg. The men used binoculars to watch as one of the objects moved from above the Gunther Construction Company radio tower southeast of Gates Rubber Company toward Monmouth. The second similar object was seen about 1:15 a.m. Corson was considered a credible witness as he had long worked in police and security fields and was also a pilot. He described the object as about 30 to 40 feet in diameter, circular with a hazy red light coming from the bottom. He also said a white light around the object would grow brighter and the red light would begin to pulsate. The objects were also said to be surrounded by a blue haze. He was not the only witness, as about 15 people in the Colonial Inn Motel and others in Galesburg reported seeing the objects too. So you got the mass sighting. Even though they didn't have cell phones to photograph this stuff, you had a lot of people saw it. It turned out not to be the first UFO seen that week by Corson. On March 6, he had seen an object estimated to be 2,500 to 3,000 feet away in distance through binoculars. It was similar to what was seen on the 9th, and Corson claimed it emitted a bright beam, and he heard a hissing sound like air escaping from a tire. This occurred about 4:30 a.m. from the Interstate 74 overpass on the Henderson-Watega blacktop. He also claimed he saw a 5-foot-wide rim spinning rapidly around the object. On January 15th, Samuel S. Westfall, a resident of Mobile City Trailer Court, reported seeing an object and claimed to be hit in the arm by something fired by the object. Another sighting on February 11th saw the object southeast of Gates Rubber Company, as was Westfall's sighting. What hit Westfall was a tiny piece of bright yellow wood. Corson's object was also seen 35 miles away in Henry County by Henry County Deputy Sheriff. Some pretty good reporting so far. I mean, they're really giving you good, precise details on where this thing's being seen at and who the players are, the witnesses. Two professional UFO investigators showed up in Galesburg to follow up on the UFO claims. The men believed Corson's claim on the 9th and researched the sighting. The next night, numerous folks watched the skies, including 15 carloads of people along Highway 10. With binoculars, CB radios, and hot coffee, they watched. They reported seeing a red light around a radio tower and a white light that quickly moved across the sky. The Register Mail also reported that a garment bag inflated with hot air from a candle floated over the sky and was found on the ground in the morning. The identified object was photographed for the newspaper. That just sounds so sketchy to me. You don't know when these things happen, if it's a parallel narrative from up above or it's just some joker out there trying to muddy the waters. But yeah, a garment bag inflated with hot air from a candle. Yeah, the old Chinese lantern trick. On the 18th, the newspaper reported that a DuPage County farmer wrote the Knox County Sheriff's Office after the sightings claiming that UFOs were using his field as a landing strip. No one took him seriously, however. Nope, if it's something that doesn't go along with your narrative, just ignore it. Alas, Galesburg's UFOs were evidently not extraterrestrial life, but something more earthly. While the Galesburg sightings made newspapers across the country, soon the answers did as well. On March 13th, two guards at Butler called police with a UFO sighting. Two large kites soon landed on the southwest edge of town. Attached to the kites were battery-powered flashlights. The two bulbs were on each kite, which were made of red plastic. The lights flickered on and off as the wind moved the kites, likely resulting in a reddish glow and flickering lights seen above Galesburg. Oh, how convenient. But this does not explain every aspect of the sightings. What did Corson and others see? Was it kites, a different man-made object? Were their eyes playing tricks, or did they really see the real thing? Many still want to believe. I'll tell you what I think. I think they saw a UFO, and I don't know if the orders came from higher up the food chain, or if this is just something that a couple of low IQ individuals did on their own. But somebody went out there, staged a Chinese lantern. Who knows if this thing even flew? They said a candle heats up a garment bag and flies across the sky. Maybe. Would a candle even produce enough heat to do that? I don't know. And in the wind like that? Who knows? Sounds staged to me. And that seems like it probably didn't get too much traction. People's had enough common sense to say, you know, that doesn't sound like what they saw. They're trying to make this thing look like it's a mistaken sighting of a Chinese lantern. First off, I think people that release these Chinese lanterns, especially in dry weather, should probably be charged with some kind of reckless disturbing the peace or something. Because how stupid can you be to take a lit candle and release it into the air to land wherever it wants to? I mean, would you be happy if your neighbor came over and started throwing matches on your lawn if it happened to be dry out? I mean, who knows? It's just one of the most stupid things a person can do, to put a candle in a box of some kind and release it. They should be universally outlawed. That said, this whole thing that somebody took the time to connect these battery-powered flashlights to kites, would those kites even have been big enough to lift these flashlights into the air? I don't know. It just sounds like such a set-up deal. And you have to ask yourself, why would people go to the pro what why would they go to the trouble? I mean, are they that frightened by this whole notion of UFOs, or are they taking their orders from somewhere else? I just don't know. It just seems like such a lame attempt at a parallel narrative. Now, it's got a picture here. It says noise sounded like an air escaping from a tire. Does that sound like a Chinese lantern or a kite to you? I don't think so. And then it says sketch. Frank Carson, Knox County Deputy Sheriff, made this sketch of a UFO Monday night. He said it came out of the southeast and flew northwest. He was on the grade separation structure of County Highway 1B and I-74. And he's got a picture here, what looks like a flying saucer to me. Doesn't look like a Chinese lantern. Doesn't look like a kite with a flashlight dangling off of it. None of it. So I think it's a little sketchy for the author who has her picture here to just put down at the very end of this article, well, problem solved. Well, problem not solved. You have two separate events. You had multiple people see these UFOs and report them, a whole carload at one point, and you had your reliable witness there, a deputy sheriff. And then after the fact, you find what looks like to me a staged attempt at a Chinese lantern, and then another staged attempt at a couple of these kites that were supposedly flown overhead, dangling these flashlights, trying to mimic a UFO. I just don't get it. On March 13th, two guards at Butler called police with a UFO sighting. Two large kites soon landed on the southwest edge of town. Attached to the kites were battery and battery-powered lights. You know, that could just be a copycat thing. I just don't think it's the same thing as what the sheriff saw. And so oftentimes, when you see these UFOs, especially these older cases, where maybe the took a little longer for the story to get out, oftentimes you have the real thing and then you have the counterfeit. And it's up to us to decide which is which. Just because a counterfeit event happens, like Chinese lanterns or kites dangling flashlights, doesn't mean that the real event didn't occur in the first place. Well, that's our look at the March Madness UFO situation. And until next time, this is UFO Warning over and out.